Bulls come into this tournament as a number 4 seed. They are the clear underdog. USF comes in with a record of 28-27. They haven't been over 500 very much this year, but there they are after their 4-1 tournament in Clearwater. Bulls finished 14-14 in conference play. 2-2 pitch outside, 3-2. Mace was walking off the mound, and that will not endear him to Billy Hayes, the home plate umpire, because not only did Mace take 7 or 8 steps toward the dugout, he also threw the glare back at home plate when he realized it was ball 3. 3-2 pitch, Sullivan is off, and this ball is lined into the left field corner. That's going to be extra bases. Sullivan is going to be waved home. He will score, and it's 1-0 USF. Nelson Rivera on a 3-2 pitch drives it into the left field corner. Sullivan running with 2 outs and 3-2, able to make it all the way around, and USF has taken the lead.
Wow, the pitch before that wasn't called strike 3, and you know that is going to be lingering in the Gators' minds. Put pressure on them early. They're expecting to win this game by 7 or 8 runs.
2-2 count on Rivera. Swung on and missed strike 3. Jaziak with back-to-back K's to start the second.
And sharp slider. I mean, that he's got it going right now.
It's a little quiet now. This ball hit to right field and hit pretty well. That's going back, and it is caught and off his glove and over the wall. It's a home run. Riley Hogan, the right fielder Sterling Thompson, climbed the short wall in right. He had it in his glove. Then he hit the wall, and it fell out of his glove over the wall for a home run. It's 2-0 Bulls. Derek, he had that one, and it got jarred loose.
As I was thinking, are you kidding me? Then I thought, wow, you really were kidding me, because the wall, the force of the wall, knocked it out of Thompson. What an amazing effort. And by the way, you talked about the alleys. I thought that was easy home run off the bat.
2-0 Bulls as for Hogan, home run number 12 to tie him for the team lead. RBI number 37 on a rainbow ball. Remember, he hit it opposite field first at bat. This one he pulled, and he just cleared the right field wall despite some real heroics by Gators right fielder Sterling Thompson.
He hung in midair, of course, supported by the wall, but it was an amazing feat, and I was actually a little surprised when the ball bopped out of there, but very thankful.
Jaziak and Hickey battling here with a runner on first and one away. Bottom of the third, 2-0 Bulls. The 2-2 breaking ball is ripped into the alley in right center field. That's going to roll all the way to the wall. It's going to score Jacob Young. Hickey will pull into second with a double, and Florida is on the board. It's 2-1.
Fastball wasn't messing around there. Tried to hit that inside part of the plate, and what do you know? He pulled the ball, but nowhere near the infielders. That was two bases and a run the whole way.
2-2 from Jaziak. Another breaking ball, and it's drilled to left. Eaton going back, and he makes the catch at the wall. Jared Eaton leaped up, caught that ball and banged into the left field wall right in front of the Bulls' bullpen. That saves a run. There's two away.
What? Just absolutely disregard for his body there. Knew that he was going to smash hard into the wall. And got a big reaction from Joe Sanchez out there in the bullpen yelling through the fence.
And that ball was a line drive. That wasn't a fly ball, so it was tough to judge as well. A terrific defensive play by Jared Eaton. Now Karsten Whitson is going to come out and talk with Jaziak here with 2 outs in the inning. 0-1 pitch, line drive. That will be a foul ball. Again, the Bulls dodge a bullet. That would have scored a run. It was lined down into the right field corner. And the first base umpire, Vic Correll, did exactly what he should have done. He ran down the line, stood right on the foul line, and watched that thing bounce what had to be only a couple of inches foul.
If that. I'm going with centimeters. They are really hitting the ball hard right now, and I thought tie game almost for certain there. Not to mention the previous at bat with the catch by Eaton.
Rolled out towards short, and the shift is going to hurt the Bulls here. It'll be an infield hit. That's low, and now it's full, 3-2. Boy, the pitches are really going up for Jasiak here in the second. He is now up to 60 pitches through 2 2/3.
Guy's only walked 9 times all year, too, so you kind of have to be impressed that he's gotten back in this at-bat.
3 balls, 2 strikes. Breaking ball swung on and missed, strike 3, and the Bulls are out of it in the third. Florida gets on the board, though, with a run on 3 hits. They leave 2 on base.
Curve ball, and that is skied high in play. Could stay in play. Third baseman Hickey going over there. May have room and goes right up against the wall. Wow. It gets out of the stadium, and boy, did he take a tumble. And he's all right. It's 1-1.
Boy, did Carmine Lane just miss that. He was a little bit early on it, but he almost tied into one there. That was a routine foul ball that landed out of play, and people won't give it a second thought, but I'm telling you, he almost got that one.
Very, very solid contact from the leadoff hitter, and he's been that way for the second half of the season. Mace, again, another, and that's a curveball just outside, 3-1. Another important move by the coaching staff during this second half of the season for the Bulls. They haven't just rolled the same guys out there per se. 3-1, and that ball is crushed to left field. Going back on it is Young, and he's just going to stop running because that ball is out of here. Wow! You weren't kidding, Jim Lauk. He sent one over a structure out there that is about 20 feet beyond the left field wall. He absolutely destroyed that baseball, and it's 3-1.
Matter of time in that at-bat. That's the one he missed just a moment ago, and he got everything there was to have on that pitch by Mace.
I mean, that had to have been at least 420 feet because, as I say, a structure. It's not just a tall structure. It is a building, a deep building, and it went over the building. Like, imagine a portable back in high school. That's what he hit it over, and it starts 20 feet from the left field wall. Wow. Carmine Lane smashes his 11th homer of the year. Oh, that ball is crushed to left field. Jared Eaton is going to drift back to the wall, and that one stays in play but gets over him. They actually could have a play at second base, and they don't. It's going to be a double. So Gassetti absolutely tagged that ball and had a chance at his first homer of the year, but it's a leadoff double. Tries a fastball, and it's going to go through the left side. Eaton has it played. They're going to send the runner. Thoe's going to go into second. It's an RBI double by the lefty to left. And it's 3-2.
Hickey has so much power that Eaton was playing almost on the warning track. And as a result, when that ball was rolled into left field, he had to run forever just to get to it.
Hard not to be impressed with this team. How could you not be? One that's gone through the rugged schedule of the SEC. Not going to be intimidated here. Another two-strike pitch, took something extra off of that. That was the curveball that we love to see from Logan Lyle. And Armstrong decided at the last second, I better swing at this one, and he comes up empty. So one run in the inning, 2 hits for the Gators, 1 error, and 1 left on base. And the Bulls are on top through 5. We head to the 6th with the score, USF 3, Florida 2. Well, based on the drive up last night when it essentially rained all up and down 75, I'm not so stunned to see what we're seeing right now, and that is the players being called off the field and the tarps being placed on it. And we are really back. Baseball is set to resume after a rain delay of 2 hours and 18 minutes. The team batting right now, the USF Bulls, 1-1 pitch, and that ball is hit well to left field, and it just gets fair as Jake Sullivan is going to hoof it around first base, though will not be able to make it in time, and he starts it off with a little life there, a double, and the Bulls have a leadoff man on.
And you can hear behind us how vocal and how sizable this USF crowd is here in Gainesville. They really hung in through the rain, and they make themselves heard on the Sullivan double.
So Sullivan now has a couple of hits. He has just continued to string together awesome at-bats. And now the Bulls, and this is really important, I think, to get a run here, and they're on their way possibly, have Matt Ruiz, who has lined out and walked. Again, that was against Tommy Mace, who ended up going five pretty good innings, but probably not what the Gators were hoping for from him. Ruiz, that's a slider that gets away, and he says, go on over to third base, Jake, and he does. Looked like a good pitch, actually was a strike, but it got away from the catcher, Cassetta, and now a runner 90 feet from home plate.
Yeah, he got crossed up. He was expecting something else, and he's out with Scott right now confirming signals. But what a break for the Bulls. No sign of a bunt from Ruiz taking all the way, and they still get the runner to third with nobody out. Now you're looking for a fly ball.
Rivera on deck, who does have an RBI double today for the Bulls, but you, like you said, want to get it done here if you can, if you're USF. That lead back up to two, which would equal its largest of this game. Here's the pitch, and slider gets away. Sullivan is going to score easily, clapping as he crosses home plate. He tried to put him away with that same pitch, couldn't control it, and it's 4-2 Bulls.
It was a pass ball last time. This is probably a wild pitch, but Florida just literally hands the run to USF here.
Absolutely, I think, was the right pitch call, but the performance of it benefited the Bulls. Oh, another one. Swung on a miss, strike three. Dylan Burns gives it a little grin, and there's two away.
Fifth strikeout for Bulls pitching. And this is just what you want coming back off the long break. If you're USF, you put a one on the board in the top of the inning, and now you got two outs, bases empty for Florida in the bottom.
And that's a fastball grounded sharply. Tough play, long throw for Lane. Hesitates with the throw and still makes the play. So a couple of guys that hadn't really been tested defensively in this game pass it in that bottom of the sixth inning. It's 4-2 Bulls as we head to the seventh. Here's the pitch. Oh, and he hits that one. It's going to stay in the park, but maybe elude the center fielder. Oh, he drops it out there. Fabian thought he had it. Got underneath his glove, and the ball gets away on the throw in, and Lane is going to trot over to third base. So a double and an error, and Carmine Lane is a big day. Behind 3-1 to Riley Hogan. And a fastball, and it's going to get through the left side of the infield. It's going to bring in Carmine Lane. Don't know if it would if he'd only been on second base, but it does there. An RBI single for Hogan, and the Bulls have their biggest lead of the day, 5-2.
It'll be an unearned run for Hogan, his second run batted in of the day, his 38th of the season. There's a long fly ball to right. It's a mile high. Cantu going back, and it is gone. Chris Armstrong, home run number 8, RBI number 30, and it's 5-3.
I couldn't see any way that the ballpark would hold it. Cantu gave it a nice look. But yeah, Armstrong has been tremendous in his first real full year in the lineup as a hitter. He started off as a pitcher. You can see why they went this route with him.
First run, first hit off Burns. One ball, two strikes. Swung on and missed strike three. So the Bulls go to the ninth looking for three more outs to knock Florida into the loser's bracket. 5-3 Bulls after 8. Orion Kirkering, what do you got? We go to the bottom of the ninth, 5-3 USF. Well, it's certainly set up the way the Bulls would prefer it. 5-3, bottom of the ninth, South Florida leads, and the closer is on. Orion Kirkering is making his 23rd appearance. That ties him with Logan Lyle for the team lead. 4-3, 2.36 ERA, 4 saves, including the win over UCF to get the Bulls here. 42 innings, 35 hits, 11 earned runs, 28 walks, 53 strikeouts, opponents hitting .216 against him. He has Thompson, Rivera, and Halter. Thompson and Rivera are both 0-3. Halter hasn't batted in this game yet, and although he is in the hole with a bat, we'll see if he actually gets a chance or not. Right now it's Sterling Thompson, who struck out against Burns' last time. He's 0-3 on the day. First pitch well outside, 1-0. Bulls again with the shift against the left-handed batter, loading up defensively on the right side. Check swing, did he go? Yes, he did. They ask at third, and Tom Cordell, the third base umpire, says strike. It's 1-1.
There's been a couple 50-50s that I would have thought would have gone against the Bulls, but they haven't.
One ball, one strike. Fouled off to the net, 1-2. All the Bulls up on the rail in the dugout off to our left. A lot of the Bulls fans have gathered in the seats around the dugout there. 1-2 from Kirkering. Breaking ball just stayed outside. That had a lot of movement, but didn't catch enough of the plate. 2-2.
To the righties, it's usually down and away. That was a perfect looking pitch, but yeah, a little high.
2-2 pitch, another breaking ball. Fly ball shallow left. Bulls are not going to be able to get there, and it lands foul. Boy, that would have been extra bases for Thompson as he just dropped it near the line and left. Again, left-handed batter, the Bulls shading him to pull, so Eaton was out of play on that from the beginning. And so was Carmine Lane, who was the infielder closest to it. And the Bulls very fortunate it dropped foul. Still 2-2 on Thompson.
Good piece of hitting there.
Kirkering winds and deals, another breaking ball, and he misses 3-2. Well, you don't want to walk here because you don't want the tying run coming to the plate. Right now you have a little luxury with the bases clean and a two-run lead. So Kirkering will try to make it happen here on 3-2. Called strike three, the fastball at the knees, there's one down.
I was going to suggest the fastball there because, again, that slider, sometimes you're two down in the zone with it, and he trusted it, and a red-hot hitting freshman goes down.
Kirkering's first strikeout. It's the eighth strikeout for Bulls pitching today. Now Josh Rivera, the shortstop, he grounded out his last time. He's 0-3. Swung on and missed, strike one. Halter is still in the on-deck circle, so they may give him a shot. He did hit 297 this year, so he's a good hitter. Breaking ball stays outside. Sullivan tried to bring it back, but it's 1-1.
Also, he is a lefty on deck. Of course, Kirkland righty, and the McMullen character is a right-handed hitter.
One ball, one strike, one out, bases empty. Breaking ball stays high, 2-1. Bulls bullpen is quiet. This is Orion Kirkering's world here in the ninth inning. 5-3 USF. Two balls, one strike on Josh Rivera. Bouncing ball backhanded by Lane. It's a foul ball.
Oh, man, good play.
Boy, Lane made a nice pickup. He was looking at a long, long throw. But we'll never know because they called it foul, 2-2.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm glad it was foul or not because that was going to be a tough play. And Rivera, although he doesn't have any steals, had a pretty good jump out of the box.
Lane backhanded that ball behind the bag. Against the right-handed batter, no shift. And with the game in the late innings, Lane is guarding the line at third. Two balls, two strikes to Josh Rivera. Started the day at 251. Breaking ball misses outside and in the dirt. And now it's 3-2.
So does he go back to that fastball? You have to believe that's going to be the case here.
That's the pitch he got the strikeout on 3-2 against Thompson to start the inning. 3-2 pitch to Rivera. Line drive toward left. Eaton going back. Edge of the warning track. Makes the catch. There's two outs in the ninth.
That was a fastball dead red and hit very well. But Jared Eaton stopped running right around the track, much to our pleasure.
Colby Halter batting for the first time in this game. But he started 43 times, hitting 297. Three homers, 32 driven in. Left-handed batter, two outs, bases empty, bottom of the ninth. First pitch from Kirkering is inside 1-0. They do have a pinch hitter on deck, and it's McMullen, who presumably would bat for Gassetti if Halter keeps the game alive. The 1-0. Called strike outside corner, 1-1. 5-3 Bulls, bottom of the ninth. Two outs, bases empty. One ball, one strike on Colby Halter. Kirkering winds and deals, and it's inside, 2-1. Jasiak for four, Lyle for one, Burns for three, and Kirkering looking for one more out. Two balls, one strike. Line drive, it gets past Hogan and into the corner. Digging for two is Halter, and he will have a stand-up double. Boy, Hogan almost got there. The ball was hit sharply. He did everything he could. But it goes as a double for Halter. It's his 11th of the year. Gators are still alive, and here comes their pinch hitter. Right-handed batter Kirby McMullen, 257 on the year. Nine homers and 36 driven in.
Well, Halter had not gotten a hit or a start since May 7th against Kentucky. So to come up with that shot is pretty impressive. And now a guy who has kind of fallen out of the lineup but can also take the ball deep.
Halter on second. It's a two-run Bulls lead. First pitch to the screen, and Halter will move up. That'll be a wild pitch.
I talked to Jake Sullivan after the selection on Monday, and he talked about how there's no one else on the team he would trust more in clutch situations than Orion Kirkering. The nerves, the ability to sort of block out some of the other stuff that's going on, and right now, of course, in a big-time pressurized situation would fit that description.
Well, the base runner doesn't matter much, even though Halter is at third. It's a two-run game with two outs, 1-0 on McMullen. Breaking ball swung on and missed, 1-1. McMullen is a graduate student from down the road in Ocala. One ball, one strike. Breaking ball called, strike two. Bulls are one strike away. 5-3 USF in the bottom of the ninth. Kirkering looking for the sign from Sullivan. The 1-2 pitch just off the end of the bat and foul down the right side. That was a breaking ball moving away from McMullen, and he reached out with the end of the bat and got a piece of it.
The difference between the run, the margin being two, is you can afford to maybe lose one, make him chase one, low in the zone, which is one of his better pitches. So see if he brings it down a little bit here.
Got to catch strike three, though, if it's in the dirt.
Good point.
The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. The Bulls have won their first game in the Gainesville Regional, knocking out the host number one seed, Florida. It'll be the Bulls going to the winner's bracket tomorrow, and Florida faces a 12 noon game to keep their postseason alive. They'll be in an elimination game in the loser's bracket after falling to the Bulls today 5-3. The Bulls improved to 29-27, and Florida falls to 38-21. The Gators, the number 15 national seed, but the Bulls now can sit back and watch Miami and South Alabama do battle, knowing they will get the winner of that game at roughly 4 o'clock tomorrow.
It was the exact pitch I talked about, low in the zone, but a good 6 inches off the ground for Sullivan to catch. I don't know what you guys were doing in 1982, but that is the last time that the Bulls have beaten the Gators in the NCAA tournament.
Sunbelt Conference days for USF. Long, long time ago. And if I'm not mistaken, you know who was on that team? Ken Erickson.
Wow.
Was an outfielder on that team in 1982.
Be expecting a text from him any second because he does not tweet. But everybody that has any history with USF baseball, this is a big, big time moment. And again, we talked about the team that has, since the last time the Bulls took two in a regional, the Gators have done it 12 times. Their last regional, they actually lost their opener. They are not used to losing the first game at home by any stretch.